in a sundress, drinking cold beer. Here I am on a wet porch, stuck in Muncie, drunk and lonely. I miss you and your warm face, soft smile. Where'd you go to? Got no friends in my home state. I was born here, doesn't mean that they like me. Guess I'll move somewhere sunny, California, Indiana. I will write you.
Well, it looks like you didn't move to California or Indiana after all.
No. I plan to, hopefully, eventually, go to Indiana.
Indiana. Any place in particular got your fancy?
I like Bloomington, but I don't think I want to really go because there's so many bands. Everybody moves to Bloomington.
Really? Is it like the new Omaha?
Kind of. It's like the Mecca if you're a traveling unheard of folk singer.
Ah.
You go to Bloomington.
Really?
And you stay there and become unheard still. But, yeah, it's just a really good place to hang out. Whenever I go there for tour, I usually stay for like two or three days. But anywhere in Indiana, Fort Wayne, Indiana is really cool too.
Cool.
The rent's really cheap, and everyone I've met there is really cool. So.
All right. Which is, you know, good situation if you got medical bills to pay off.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you went 2 weeks on tour with bronchitis.
Yeah, I did do that, yeah. Didn't want to go home.
That's dedication, Dobie.
Oh, well, thanks.
Yeah. By way of introduction, Mr. Dobie Watson from currently Overland Park, but I'm sure he's been a dual resident of Kansas City and Lawrence for
back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah. And nice enough to come by today with a collection of songs, kind of a compilation of stuff he's been working on. And basically, still recovering from this crazy tour that you went on.
Oh, there's been like seven tours last year.
Tell me about that one that you were sick on.
It was like a 3-week tour with my good friend Austin, who does Parson, his pseudonym. And you know, we were just touring, doing the usual thing, and then one night, we're actually in Cincinnati, Ohio, and we're playing at this venue in the heart of their ghetto. Like, literally, gunshot, you know. They lock the front door and keep a knife at the merch table. Crazy stuff. And then, you know, we play the show, no one comes, and everyone's afraid to go to the venue, obviously. And later that night, I'm too afraid to go to sleep, being the suburban kid that I am. So we're sleeping in the venue, and there's a bunch of alley cats coming in and out, peeing on everything, and getting into our food. Crazy. And so I stayed up all night in this really dirty cat hair-infested place, staring out the window, making sure no one broke into my tour mate's really nice car. Of course, no one did, you know. Them too sheltered, obviously. But staying up all night in that environment, I guess I just got really badly sick. And I didn't want to go home, so I stayed, and then I came home, and I got really sick, so I ended up with some hospital bills, so I'm still, you know, I could have paid it off sooner, but I've been, you know, spending money on other things like guitars when I shouldn't be.
That's right. Tell us about your new guitar.
Well, I don't know. I don't have it yet.
Okay.
I'm still paying it off. It'll be a while.
Wait, isn't that what credit cards are for, or how does that
work? Oh, I don't do credit card.
Oh, yeah?
Layaway at the guitar store.
Layaway, that's so like 1970s.
That's okay. I'll go 70s. I got the hair, so I'll stick with it.
You made me swear it never happened to us, and now I am home in the middle of the day. And I'm sorry if I ever let you down.
Well, that sounds like a club hit, Waiting to Be Born.
It's actually a cover.
Is it?
Yeah, that's one of the covers of my friend and manipulator Alligator.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm playing that at a show tonight.
You mentioned to me you're playing a show tonight in Kansas City, and it's at a place called Skinless Art Gallery, and you're covering all of your friends' songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And tell us about, you know, how that came about.
It's kind of an awkward situation. I'm going to be playing a show with a friend who's not very happy with me right now, and we both got asked to play by the venue without knowing it. And so originally I was going to play, but then I felt like that'd be a really rude move to make. And so it's always hard to find a venue that's willing to have us play, because no one really wants to have solo artists play. So I figured the alternative would be just to throw it out there, just do covers, because I've never done that before at a show. I don't really know guitar chords, so, you know, had sat down with my friends and did some covers. So.
Hmm. A couple of interesting things there. First being this reconciliation with your friend.
Yeah, that'll be kind of epic. If it happens.
Care to clear the air right now, right here and here?
No.
Sure, tonight air will be cleared.
Hopefully.
Second part, the part about being difficult to find venues for solo performers. And I've noticed that kind of, you know, as you post shows, most of them are alternative spaces like art galleries and houses.
Well, a lot of it has to do with the choice. I don't like to play at bars. And actually, no offense to coffee shops, I hate playing at coffee shops. Anywhere where there's going to
no
be
offense.
A lot of... If people are going to go there for a reason other than a show,
yeah,
well, that's fine. That, you know, without that, the venue wouldn't be there, obviously. But most of the people are going to be there for other reasons then. And so it's hard to get their attention when you're just one guy without drums and bass and yelling and all that.
Right.
And I don't know. It doesn't have the same intimacy either. I prefer houses or art galleries, but it's hard because there's not that many in this area that, you know uh-huh. about us or, you know, take you seriously.
Mm-hmm. Which ones have you encountered, discovered?
There used to be the Momo, which was my favorite in Kansas City. This guy named Motley ran it. He wasn't like a close friend, but he was a friend of mine. He was a really good guy.
Yeah.
But he passed away not too long ago, so that kind of ended that. And then other than that, it just mostly stuck with coffee shops or houses. You know, every once in a while, a new art gallery will come by and let us do a couple shows. And then there was one called The Farm in the Crossroads area.
Mm-hmm. Did you try doing, bar shows for a time?
Every so often I'll play at the Jackpot or something.
Okay.
The folks from 11 Productions are really nice to me.
Cool.
And they'll give me a spot at a really good show, and I'll go play it. Mm-hmm. Like, last one was at Bisnard Lakes or something like that. Mm-hmm. They're getting pretty popular. And a really good opportunity for me, but no one listened to me. They all just talked and drank, and it was really awkward. So I figured it's a potentially good opportunity, but, you know, if they're not going to listen to me, I might as well not waste their time or mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let someone else who wants that opportunity get it, who will actually captivate their attention, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
As opposed to just wasting everything.
Got it.
I am sore and tired for no reason. Fix me.
tell us a little bit about these recordings that we're hearing now.
Most of them are live in a room. I just put a bunch of mics up and just kind of throw them together last minute for splits before a tour so I could have merch.
Split albums?
Yeah, like half me, half a friend. You know, yeah. A CDR, you know, hand make it. And what would happen is I'd book these tours, you know, months in advance thinking, all I'm going to have this album I've been talking about for 4 years done, which I've yet to do. You know, by this time, you know, I'm booking another tour right now with this mindset. And then, of course, I never have it, so I throw a bunch of demos together on, like, a four-track at home, burn them on CDs, have a friend contribute, usually my tour mate, and sell that so we can... Because most of the shows we play are free, even on tour. It's kind of the expectation in the music scene we're in. So you have to have something to make money to get to the next town and get some food, you know. So that's how we do it. And the most of, if not all, these recordings... There's a couple of live songs on here, but everything else is a result of that.
Cool. How did you... sort of discover the scene that you're now talking about? I mean, how did you come into this?
You know, it just kind of happened. About a year ago, it became a music scene. I've been trying to do this since 2004.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would get shows with, like, Dirty Projectors or Thanksgiving or Carl Blau, like, pretty good names for this, you know, solo guy music. And but it wasn't really going anywhere. I was really awkward. I was uncomfortable with myself. I didn't really want to play shows. I just did it because I thought I had to.
Why were you uncomfortable?
I have a really bad stage fright, actually.
Oh, okay.
I get really nervous in front of people.
Yeah.
It's weird. But I love making music. I would, no matter what. And then I got talked into playing shows around 2004. I was like 17 or 16 or something. And it just kind of went from there. But recently, because of MySpace, there's a whole bunch of kids just doing this. You know, I can go tour and do this. And when I was on some of the tours, like in 2006 when I first started doing that, some kids got kind of influenced by that, you know, me and my tour mate, you know, oh, that's cool, we can do this too. And recently, independently of me, but the people that I've come in contact with have really banded together to make a music scene out of it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think it's kind of a bad thing because it'll become too stylized, you know, like the term DIY in the terms of folk music is becoming a genre now, kind of like how indie did in like the early 90s and 80s.
Right.
And of course it's in a really small scale, but it's making kind of a bureaucracy within the music scene. It's kind of frustrating for me because I liked it before when it was just, hey, email my friend, we'll go play a show at his house, you know, nothing in particular, you know. But, I mean, it will probably be good for most of the people involved, and, you know, I might distance myself from it, but the other option are bar shows, and it's not my fancy, so...
called Education with a J.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about this one.
I was afraid you'd ask about this one. It's essentially a stab at somebody who ridiculed me for misspelling the word education. And they said that, no one, I'm not going to say who, and it was their reasoning for no longer having faith in me as a human being. So I thought it was noteworthy for a little song.
You spelled it with a J, huh?
Yeah, I'm bad at spelling, quite. Yeah.
Sometimes it's spelled fun to spell phonetically, though, instead of
Yeah, well, that's how I spell. You know, to me, it's obvious, but, you know, I'm not an English major or anything. There's that city skipping again.
Ah, that's okay. We'll just turn it down and keep dogging.
I know.
Those are the hazards of being a CDR musician.
Yeah. Hopefully, if I do get this record finished with, you know, this nice guitar I'm buying...
Yes.
It will not be on a CDR, and that's one of the exciting parts. It should work.
In other words, a vinyl or something?
No, I wish. Just a press CD.
A real CD.
Yeah, a real thing. You know, the jewel case and all that fancy stuff.
I got time.
A friend in Boston is going to help me out, so
cool.
I'm excited.
So you have a little joke on your MySpace headline. It says, Mark Kozelek wannabe.
Oh, so much. I'm such a fan of his. The funny thing is, I didn't know about him until people started comparing me to him live.
Uh-huh.
You know, I had the long hair, and I, you know, crooned. And,
mostly because of the hair, not,
yeah,
well, not the
music. I also, a lot of the more recent stuff, which we don't have here, which will be on the supposed album, mm-hmm. you know, that I play live, is tuned in the same tuning he uses and everything. I had no idea.
Which one?
Dadgad.
Okay.
There's my secret, everybody. I use Dadgad.
Yeah.
And a lot of people started comparing me to him, mostly guys in, like, their mid-20s, you know, that knew who he was. And I checked it out, and I was just like, wow, this is what I wish I could make. Here it is, right there. So I became a big fan. That and a band called Idaho.
Mm.
And that's my other big influence.
It's both slower, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Idaho. That's what I listen to on the way here. I have all their CDs. Totally into it. I've given fan emails like once a month. Please come play here. I'll pay you anything. I want to see you live.
That's awesome. But, yeah, Mark Kozelek was supposed to be at the Gaslight Tavern, but he got sick the night of the show.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I found out about that after it happened, of course.
Well, it didn't happen, so it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. I don't have to feel bad anymore. Yeah.
What else lately have you been listening to?
I'm getting back into music I was into in high school, like really brutal, like 90s hardcore, like Crestfallen and Page 99.
Came out left field, yeah.
Yeah, I just kind of, you know, I think I work every day from like 10 to 7. So it's kind of my way to be like, I'm going to fight back.
Yeah.
And then other than that, I'm really into like Mount Erie and Songs Ohio and Will Oldham, big time into that. Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
Just all kind. I mean, you know, if it's good for what it is, in my opinion, I'll listen to it.
What type of work do you do?
I serve old people food. Actually, the song in the background in here is about that right now.
Why don't we listen?
Yeah. It's almost over, but yeah, go for it. To die, when you're gonna die, it makes me want to die. When you wanna die, it makes me want to die.
Sounds a bit morbid.
Yeah, the verse was a little more relevant, but yeah, it's actually a live song. So,
what was your experience there with the experience?
Oh, sometimes people die in the dining room. So I've actually seen people die. It's pretty epic. Yeah,
that's a good word to describe it.
Yeah, it has a big effect on you. I actually I've been there for like almost 2 years working this place, and I don't really like the work. It doesn't pay that great, but you become really emotionally attached to the people who live there. And it's really hard to just leave, you know. In the middle of, you know, people who are going to be dying soon. It's like, you know, then one dies and another one moves in. It's really kind of depressing. But, you know, it pays my hospital debt and my guitar bills. And, gives me things to write songs about, I guess.
Yeah.
I was just telling the old people yesterday about how I was going to come in here this morning and do this. Or they clapped for me.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of like my real friends, you know. It's kind of sad, but... It's who I hang out with most of the time since I'm there all the time. So, yeah. Marvelous land. Mountain tumble. We stayed put. You will be inside my heart. As if it were.
So is this from an earlier era when you were doing more arrangements with full band and you were known as Buhis or whatever?
Yeah, the song was written when I was like 17 or maybe 18. And then that was from 2007 when that was recorded. That's a live set with a backing band. And we revisited old songs for this tour through Texas and Oklahoma.
Cool.
Just for fun. And we just recorded a live set to sell. And that's just what that's from.
Awesome.
I was actually kind of drunk right there too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Let's see if we can hear it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty swervy. Was it the ocean?
So how do you feel about drinking in shows? How do those mix?
I typically do not drink at all before performing, but I am old enough to legally drink, so I do enjoy my beer and my whiskey sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Often with my parents, actually. So
yeah.
It's definitely PG here.
Good.
But that day, I happened to just kind of... I bought a big old bottle of beer and was drinking it, and we recorded, and I was drunk, and it was a bad outcome, but the recording's okay, so...
Mm-hmm. What do you drink on tour?
I usually don't, actually. On tour, I'm pretty squeaky clean.
Mm.
Unless someone provides me with alcohol.
Right.
And then maybe after the show, if I'm at a place that I know that's safe. I know the people. I have a place to stay. I'm really... Tour mates hate me because of it.
Not Cincinnati, in other words.
No. No, with Cincinnati, we weren't getting messed up at all. We were just scared. But, no, I'm pretty strict about that stuff because I've been in sketchy situations, and if I was drunk in that situation, I might not be sitting here right now.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I try to be safe. You know, you're sleeping on strangers' floors, you have no idea who you're going to be with. It's all through the internet when you're booking a tour. Might as well be, internet stalker action going on. It's pretty weird, but it's the way you do it.
So. Have you ever had any, total disasters? I mean...
Oh, so many. I got booed off stage once in Iowa City.
Really?
Yeah, it was Gabe's Oasis, the last show ever, and, apparently, everyone was mad. It's an historic venue in Iowa City. And the people who were buying it from them were from Lawrence. And that's where we said we were from on the flyer. And it was this big show with all these different bands. It was a mess. And my tourmate and I were doing a split set on the stage. And people started booing us and telling us to go back home. And lots of curse words and really nice things. So we just played our set anyway. We didn't care. Then we just left. Ended up in some small town in Illinois with my tourmate's distant relatives. And really weird, really, really big disaster.
Mm. So watch out, Lorenzians, if you ever
go to north. Iowa City. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't let them know you're from Lawrence.
Good tip. All right, so we got another tune coming up, it sounds like. This one is called Every Day. Can you give us a little introduction?
It's from 2004, 2005. It's an electronic song I did on my first release ever. My stab at Depeche Mode. Pretty much.
We'll keep trying.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't work out too well for me. But it was a fun song to do.
No, for sure. Sorry, I don't mean to be rude.
No, you can be as rude as you want to be.
I'm not even really a huge Depeche Mode fan, so what do I know?
I'm not really either, but that and Tears of Fears, they have that funny voice,
Yeah.
I try to go for that sometimes. It doesn't work out.
Exactly.
I'm not from England, so...
So what are you going to be doing this year? What's your
plan? Try to release this record. Been working on the songs for it. Were written last winter, primarily, and none of which we've played. I favor them the most thus far, so that's what I'm choosing to do. Mm-hmm. And to tour a lot, maybe constantly if I can, and just try. I don't know really what I'm trying to go for with that. I don't know if I'm gonna. I don't really know if I even want to be quote unquote famous, but. If I'm going to make a CD and I'm going to tour, I might as well try to, keep going and keep doing it,
Mm-hmm.
And I figure if this doesn't work out for me, I'll just kind of take it easy for a while. And maybe go back to college. I don't know, it's been two or three years. I don't think I like school very much.
Yeah.
But they make my family very happy with me. And the other goal, the reason I haven't, I still live with my parents, I've been putting off moving out because it's much easier to tour and quit jobs on and off if you live with your parents. Much easier. You don't have any obligations whatsoever. And it's, I hate to admit that, but...
No, it's true.
Yeah, it is very true. And if I want to be serious about it, the music and not my real life, kind of got to take that dive there.
Tell us about some of the like-minded, folky sort of musicians that you play with you know, around here.
Around here?
Yeah. Perhaps ones that you've collaborated with.
Oh, yeah. The collaborations are from all over. The first one was with the guy that ran the small label Tract Records, which actually just shut down about a month ago.
Okay.
Out of Ohio, and his name is Theeth, T. Heath. And that was in like 2004 or 5. And then Grumpy Bear, this guy's from Arizona. And then I did a split with Margot May from here recently. And then one with Manipulator Alligator from here recently. And then I've only done splits, actually, thus far.
Hmm.
Yeah, only. And can't even remember everyone I've done a split with. But there's so many. Everything on here. But, Viking Moses, I did a split with him. He's kind of from everywhere. And, I don't know. People from around here, we've got Brother Bird, and we've got Regal Standard, and we've got... Everyone's got a band name, you know, as I used to. Parson, he's like my best friend in Austin. And, you know, there's Ross Brown. I mean, I could go on forever. I need a list to actually remember everybody.
Right. And just once again, for the listeners, Boo Hiss was the band name. And why'd you decide to drop that?
It didn't make any sense to me. You know, the name was something... You know, this whole thing kind of fell in my lap. I had this Boo Hiss project... And some girl in art class in high school told me that I should name a band that or something, and I did. And it ended up being a solo recording when I got an 8-track. I put up a MySpace like a year or so later. A small label liked it, and he put out a split with me. And the next thing I know, I put out another split, and next thing I know, I'm going on tour. And then, you know, like 3 or 4 years later, I sit down and think about where I'm at, and, you know, I'm looking at this in a serious way instead of just an accident. And I don't like the name Boo Hiss. It doesn't make any sense because I'm the one guy. So,
cool.
Just decided to change.
All right. Well, let's go out with some music. We are coming up on a song called Fertile Landscape.
That's an old one. Yeah.
We can talk about that one while this one's winding down.
Ooh. That one's about something very awkward. You'll get the gist of it when you listen to it.
Okay. We'll let the music speak for itself. Thank you for coming by, Adobe.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It's the way that we spoke in the morning.